How do I confess my sins so that I can find peace with God and be rid of the burden of guilt and shame that I feel over my iniquity? If you do not know how to answer that, you could not be called a mature Christian. This is ABC stuff. This is beginner stuff. And yet the vast number of church-going people could hardly begin to tell you what is biblical confession of sin. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, pastor of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. And I trust that today that God will, in His grace, come and minister to your heart, wherever you may be, and that this will be a word that will lead you into the truth of the gospel. Psalm 51 is the psalm of confession. You remember David's terrible sin? How he, in daytime, in his palace, lusted after another man's wife and ended up committing adultery. He ended up covering up his sin by the murder of Uriah. And then later, the prophet Nathan came and said to David, "Thou art the man, you have committed sin." God found him out. He was terribly guilty, terribly burdened with the guilt of his own sin, and soon he was in a state of confession. And here we learn that confession is absolutely necessary. It is the vital aspect of Christian living. Without understanding how to get right with God, there can be no progress in the Christian life. And so stay tuned as we come to Psalm 51. The theme of Psalm 51 is confession and cleansing. And I'm going to preach today that these are twins. These are necessary twins. You cannot be blessed with one without the other. You cannot have confession that will not lead to cleansing. And you cannot have cleansing without, first of all, confessing. That is a biblical absolute. That is a concrete truth in God's word that you cannot smash. It is vital. And I want you to see this as we come to read together here in Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit.
Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon mine altar. Father, we pray that you will draw near to us by your grace. Send the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts, to hear your word with profit, and grant that the book will come alive, and that we will hear words of life, words of mercy, words of blessing to our souls. We pray that you will work your will in every heart, and that you will draw near to us and give us the blessing of heaven as we spend this time in your word. Speak, Lord, by your grace, in the Savior's precious name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 51. Why come to preach on Psalm 51? In this communion service, we do what we must always do, and that is ask for preparation of heart. It is vital that we have heart preparation, to put our hands to that cup and that bread. We are warned against taking communion haphazardly, in an unworthy manner, in a way that is without really reflecting on the purpose and reason for communing with God in this matter. Now, it's not true blessing unless it is heart blessing. Nothing comes into our souls if it does not touch our hearts. And so the question is, what is a right heart? And the goal of this psalm, well, it's at the end. And everything that is recorded here is to lead the reader to a broken and a contrite spirit. Notice that in verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Now, this is probably the greatest of all 150 psalms. I know preachers say that all the time. The passage that they're preaching, that's the best one in all the Bible. That's just the warmth and the fire and the desire to get that passage conveyed to the hearer. But if I was to really be given the choice of just one psalm in all of 150 psalms, this one we could not leave out, because it is the vital context and it is the vital textbook of teaching us what is biblical confession. Now, you just walk up to somebody on the street and say to them, "Have you ever confessed your sins?" You'll get a blank look, I'm sure, or maybe you'll get just someone who has no idea what you're talking about. And we must never assume that people know what is biblical confession of their sins. If you tell the average person to repent, they might just say, "Okay," throw their hands up and say, "I'll never do that again." Well, that's not anywhere close to biblical repentance. And so, we have this psalm, and we're by no means in the dark to the context of why was it needed, who does it refer to, because if you read the header, it says, "A psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came in unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Now, if the sin of adultery is judged by a cruel, critical world, how much more will be judged by the holy God of heaven? And so we need this Psalm 51 to show what biblical confession can do and how to go about it. Indeed, to understand this is the mark of biblical maturity. If you would call yourself a mature Christian, this is something that you ought to know inside out. How do I confess my sins so that I can find peace with God and be rid of the burden of guilt and shame that I feel over my iniquity? If you do not know how to answer that, you could not be called a mature Christian. This is ABC stuff. This is beginner stuff. And yet the vast number of church-going people could hardly begin to tell you what is biblical confession of sin. It is vital because while we do not all sin like David, yet we all need to deal with the sin within our hearts. Would the sinless person stand up? Would the person who has never sinned or has not even this week committed something that had offended a holy God stand up? We do not believe in sinless perfection in this world for anybody. We are made of clay. We are temptable. We are prone to sin. And indeed, it becomes a daily requirement. Our Lord Jesus has taught us in the Lord's Prayer that we ought to continually confess our sins and seek cleansing in the blood of the Lord Jesus. And we know also that it is the man or woman who has clean hands and a pure heart that shall ascend into the hill of the Lord. It is impossible to walk with God. It is impossible to commune with Him and have real fellowship with God if you do not exercise this routine of confession and seeking the cleansing of the blood of Jesus in your own life. Now, nor do we boast that because we have been justified by faith and by faith alone, and that we are absolutely, totally declared righteous in God's sight, clothed in the white beauty of His righteousness, we rejoice in that. But that does not mean that we now sin with impunity. We do not sin that the grace of God might abound. No, the Apostle Paul said, God forbid. The people who are justified are the people who hate sin and want to be pure and holy and walk right with God. And so we need to go to this psalm with a serious attitude. It's vital to me, and it's vital to you. This applies to my life, my heart, and my walk with God. So how did David go about seeking cleansing? What was it for him to confess his sin? And therefore, how do we go about it? There is in the psalm the reasoning behind David's confession. There's always reasons. There's also the remedy. And that will get us to the blotting out of transgressions, the pleading of the blood and of God's mercy. And lastly, the recognition of God's tender mercy. God is not quick to destroy. He takes no delight in judging, condemning, destroying sinners. But He is full of mercy. We find all of this in this Psalm 51. Now, when David came to confess his sin, what was he thinking? Well, right out the gate, if you notice how this psalm begins, without any ruse, without any justification, any excuses, he just cries out, "Have mercy upon me, O God." It is true that he needed to be brought to his senses through the prophet Nathan. Nathan appeared one day at David's door, and he told him a story. The story of a stolen lamb from a man who had no other sheep in his flock. And David flew into a rage and he said, "Such a man should die." And then Nathan pointed the finger and said, "David, thou art the man." Let's read this. Let's go back to 2 Samuel chapter 12. I don't want to assume that everybody here knows this account. I think most of us know the account of what David did, of how he saw Bathsheba, how he lusted after her, how he sought her and brought her and became a father to the child that died, and the year of cover-up by the murdering of Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, by having him go close to the walls of the Ammonites and therefore dying unnecessarily, and all of the sham and all of the charade of covering up his sin for close to a year. And here in 2 Samuel, we have Nathan turning up. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. He didn't just turn up. He was sent. And here is God taking care of David, because he's not going to let David away with this. He is going to confront him and bring him to a place of brokenness. And so the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came in unto him and said unto him, "There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming unto him. But he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was to come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, 'As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity.' And Nathan said to David, 'Thou art the man.' Thus the Lord God of Israel, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have moreover given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight?'" And then he goes on to talk about Uriah and his death. And then David broke. And when he went to God in prayer, he wasn't hiding anything. He wasn't shrinking back from the truth. We must not think that we can cover up and prosper. We must not think that even though for a short time it appears the cover-up is working, that God is not preparing his Nathan to meet us at the next opportunity and point the bony finger of accusation, "Thou art the man." Notice Psalm 51, verse 6, how David in his confession says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." Let that honesty flow from your heart. That's part of confession. That's why we need to learn what is biblical confession. It's not just lip service. It's not just, okay, I'll stop. Doesn't mean that I'll run from it. It means you desire truth. Put everything on the table. Let God investigate every dark corner of your life. Let that light shine in and expose anything that is keeping you from the blessing and the favor of God. Now that involved, of course, the horrible crimes against men. David's lust for Bathsheba was the sin against a good woman, living a pure life as a faithful wife. David, as king, commanded that he be brought to him. In doing so, he broke the covenant of marriage between Bathsheba and Uriah. He broke his own covenant of marriage, brought shame to his family and, as king, to his nation. David committed horrible crimes. He resorted also to premeditated murder that Uriah was sent to fight close to the walls of the city of the Ammonites, deliberately that he would be killed. And so David had adultery in his heart and blood on his hands. And now he's praying that truth might prevail. What David did was actually a greater victory to the enemies than defeat on the battlefield, because he brought reason for his enemies to reproach Israel. We must realize the enormity of our sin. Anything that covers up or minimizes the enormity of sin is not biblical confession. It is excusing, it is pandering to the flesh and denying self. Sin is like a dam bursting forth with its filthy waters. It floods everywhere. The ripples of harm are endless. And of course, the guilt and the shame. Then in verse 4, that you will see that his sin was also a provocation in the very eyes of God. "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." Now, how do you reconcile that David says, "against thee and thee only," and then he had confessed what he had done to Bathsheba and to Uriah and to the many others? In his heart sense of guilt, the greatest, the outstanding sense of shame and conviction was that what he had done was right in the eyes of an all-knowing God. It was like a video running that was revealing to David the real man, and the rehearsal of the sights and the scenes and the sounds and the desires of his own wicked heart, replayed and replayed and replayed, that only against thee have I sinned. I can never erase the evil of it. It's like a prostitute out in the street, and she is plying her trade while her very husband stands in the midst viewing. How vile. It's like Gomer, Hosea's wife, who, when she sought her lovers and he sought to draw her home, he brought her food and he brought her supplies, and all the while she was living with her lovers as a prostitute in front of the eyesight of her own husband. And when we commit sin, it's not just we're harming people around us, but we are offending the heart of God. and doing this evil in his sight. Now the guilt of it haunted David. Look at verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. When you see people walking in a city park, it might be a sunny day, people milling around, and there's some sitting on the bench, others walking leisurely along. And you would think that this is a carefree day with carefree people. Do not believe it. Amongst that people, there will be many that will be plagued with the guilt and the crimes of their own sin. And they will rehearse and rehearse in their own minds the evil that they have done. There are people who turn in at the end of a long, hard day, and you would think that with all the toil of life that they would sweet dreams, but in reality, they have sleepless nights, because as David says here in this third verse, my sin is ever before me. The Bible says that eternity is in the heart of man, for judgment is in the heart of man. A knowledge of God's anger against him, the fear of God and the fear of his fury written on the very brow of God, it haunts, and it haunts all the way to hell. For those who do not learn the way of confession and the way of cleansing, that they might be delivered from the burden and the guilt of sin. Oh, the acknowledgement of it. And here is David's confession. And here's the reasons why. Is there not a reason for you to confess sin? How can you possibly walk with God and live for him if you hide iniquity in your heart? You must lay it on the table and say, this is such a burden I can't live with myself. I acknowledge my sin before God.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. We're on the air each day at this time, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., to bring you the message of God's Word, the Gospel, from the pulpit of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. Now, here at the Free Presbyterian Church on Sunday mornings, we're looking at a series on the seven sayings of the Savior from the cross. We invite you to be a part of these messages as we lead up to the Easter season. As we think of Christ, our Redeemer, hanging on the cross, we want to know, why was he there? For whom did he die? And what did his suffering accomplish? These are the great issues of the gospel. And I invite you to come, bring your family and friends along Sunday mornings, 10:30, to our Sunday services here at the Free Presbyterian Church at 188 Street and 58 Avenue, Cloverdale, here in British Columbia. If you cannot join in person, you can also go to our website. Go to for our webcast, where you can view and listen to our messages on air. So join us Sundays 10:30 for these messages. Also Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. as we continue and finalize our messages on the book of Revelation. We'll be looking at heaven, looking at the glory for God's people. So join us here at the Free Presbyterian Church, Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Now the website is www.cloverdalefpc.ca. Thank you for joining with us as we let the Bible speak.